Good evening. Again, I want to greet you in Jesus' name this evening. Thank you, young men, for your sharing. I asked Brother Jason if I should preach or skip it, and he said to let you have it, so I'll go ahead with what I have prepared here. Is there any announcements besides Wednesday evening? Prayer meeting, 7:30? Okay, I'll do my best to. I'm not very good at abbreviating things when I put it in to keep it making sense, but I'll try to keep moving here. This evening I have a topic that's a little bit different than maybe normal. I've been thinking about it for a while. It's been on my mind, and I thought maybe some Sunday evening I would share it. It's not necessarily appropriate in my mind or the best for a Sunday morning message. I want to ask you a few questions just to get your mind rolling maybe on what I'm thinking. Does it matter or does it affect my spiritual life if I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning or if I get up at 9 o'clock in the morning? Does it affect my spiritual life what I eat for breakfast? If I eat an egg and milk or if I eat a candy bar and a can of pop? Does it matter how much I eat for breakfast or supper? Does it matter if I sit on the couch and read a book and eat a snack or play a game instead of going outside and exercising or mowing the lawn? Is it a spiritual thing how I take care of my body? I don't know what you think. Maybe some of these things aren't wrong in themselves. Maybe it depends why we get up at 9 o'clock in the morning. And a lot of other factors that come in, which I agree with. Maybe we can answer some of these questions indirectly later. But I wanted to talk about a little bit about glorifying God in your body. The verse there in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Says, wherefore, whether ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And I recognize that health is a big subject, and it can be a controversial subject. There's the diet, what we eat. There's the whole doctoring world, the different practices that go along with that, the methods, the medicines, the natural approaches. You have hygiene. You have brushing of teeth and keeping yourself clean. There's the matter of exercise and sleep. How important are these things for a Christian? I want to look at this subject this evening, and I'm mainly going to be focusing on the area of diet tonight, or diet, eating. And I want to say I'm not an expert on this subject. Many of you are probably more educated on some of these things than I am. I want to be careful what I say. I want to be compassionate, like we heard this morning. And I'm aware that this is kind of a hot-button subject, depending on the approach that you have and what you talk about. And no doubt we'll have things that we would not agree on 100%, and that's probably okay. Also, I know that some are battling health problems, and I certainly do not want to come across in what I say, that health problems are always a fault of the person that has them. I do not want to point any fingers. I fully realize that now, even as I stand here tonight, that I could have some disease that I do not know yet about. That could happen. So I don't want to be critical. I don't want to be come across that way. But on the other hand, if the shoe fits, then I guess wear it. My goal is to be an encouragement in this area and to be balanced on the subject. You know, God in the Old Testament was very detailed about diet. And I know we're not under the law. I don't know exactly how that all should affect us today. I don't know that. But He had a reason for that, and I wonder about that sometimes. If there's not a lot more health benefits, if we would follow that today, than we realize. God created all these things. He knew, He knows what's good for us and what's not. Also, when Jesus was on earth, He cared a lot about health care. Although physical health was not His primary mission, it was a vital part of it. And we heard about this morning as well. He spent much time healing the sick and the lame and the blind. And He healed the woman of the issue of blood that she had spent all her life living trying to cure. He loosed the tongue of the dumb. And Jesus was not too spiritual to care about the physical condition of people. He loved them. He loved to free people from their handicaps and from their discomforts and their pain. But of course, most of all, He wanted to heal. He still wants to heal our hearts. It's the most important thing. So although I believe it's not the most important thing, the way that we take care of and use our bodies is important. And it all kind of ties in somewhat. And our eating and our drinking and our sleeping habits, and if we work and exercise and take care of our bodies, all does ultimately affect us, I believe, spiritually and physically. Both. And this is important for both children and adults. It has a lot to do with crucifying of the flesh. I want to read a few verses in 1 Corinthians here. I'm just going to hit a few of these in chapter 6. I'm going to not read the whole passage here, but 1 Corinthians 6, starting at verse 12, says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and bellies for the meat, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." And then he goes on and talks more about fornication. Then I'll jump back in verse 18. He says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body, but he committeth fornication, sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And I want us to remember these verses in this, because there's a lot of bunny trails that you can go down with health and motives and reasons. But as a Christian, we are not our own. We are bought with a price. And that should be our number one motivating purpose for which we take care of our bodies. Because for Christians, our bodies are the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. And there are many ungodly reasons for health. We'll maybe look at a little bit of that later. So I want to remember this verse, the reason that we are to take care of bodies, to glorify God. We are not our own. We conservative Christian people understand the importance of not using tobacco and drugs and the abuse of alcohol and all the unhealthy side effects of that. And we see that drunkenness is a sin, and the Bible says that. It's an abomination in the sight of God. But what about the use of our food? We are known for our good food, us people, and we love our good food. And I'm no exception. This is a problem that I have and that I need to deal with, like the rest of you. We talk about good food, we dream about good food, we look forward to good food, and we overeat our good food often. And I don't think that it's wrong to enjoy good food. I think it can be enjoyed and that we can be thankful for good food. But we do know that gluttony is not good. But that it seems like somehow that we, because we're conservative and because we're so right in so many areas and do so many good things, that this area just isn't that big of a deal. If you ask us, yes, it is, but it really isn't. It's kind of like a Mennonite-sanctioned sin. And we even laugh about it and joke about it, kind of like the ungodly laugh and joke about drunkenness and fornication. And yes, skinny guys like me can be gluttons, so I'll just put that one to rest for you. But the U.S. obesity and overweight people are fast on the rise, if you study that. And I know, I want to say this too, that I know that overweight is not always directly from gluttony. There probably are a few exceptions, but probably not as many as people would like to think. Obesity rates have doubled since 1980. U.S. spends $190 billion a year just on obesity-related problems. And that's sad enough to think of without thinking about all the people that are starving at the same time. The Bible doesn't talk a lot about being overweight and obesity, but it does talk about overeating and being glutton. And so that includes skinny gluttons, like I said. Good food is something I really enjoy, as I said, it's a problem I have. It's something I need to fight against. I want to read just a few verses in relation to this. In Proverbs 3, there's a few verses I want to look at. I mean, Philippians 3, first of all, sorry, Philippians 3, and then in Proverbs 23. And I'm moving along here because, as you can see, we're late, so I'm not going to wait too long on these. You can look these up if you want to. Philippians 3:18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often now, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Then in Proverbs 23... I'm going to read the verses 20 and 21 first, and then I'm going to jump back to the first two verses of the chapter. Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunken and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. And verse 1 and 2 in that chapter says, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. And if you think about these words, a man given to appetite, and what is that talking about? It says, given to would have the idea of a master or an owner or a captain or a lord. And appetite is simply just desire and greed and lust. So you put your knife to your throat if your desires and appetites are your master, basically. You are enslaved to your stomach. You just obey it. It's your Lord and captain of what the decisions that you make. When you desire food, that the desire comes to you, you obey it. You just go get it, satisfy it, and take care of it. You obey, regardless of the consequences, regardless of if it is good for your body. And it's just like any other addiction in life. It's your master. You do what it tells you to do when it tells you to do it. Like Esau, you know, in his state of hunger, he sold his whole life and his future for a bowl of pottage. He was hungry. He wanted it now. He didn't worry about the consequences, what happened later. And being a slave to your stomach is similar to being enslaved to all the other lusts of our flesh, fornication and the addictions and pornography and drunkenness and drugs. These are all manifestations of selfishness. I do it because it feels good now, regardless of what the consequences might be, regardless of what it does to my body. Gluttony and drunkenness, wherever gluttony, the word glutton and gluttonous, I think it was, it's not used very many times, but I think every time in the Bible, it's right along with drunkenness and wine bibbing. Excess drink, excess food, it's right there categorized as the same. There's a lot of reasons for overeating. I'm not going to go into a lot of that. High stress can cause overeating. And maybe, you know, Jesus said, don't worry. That's a side effect to not obeying and worrying about the things of the future. Things we can't change. So temperance. I want to think about temperance just a little bit. 1 Corinthians 9. 24 and 25. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is tempted in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Temperance in all things, self-control, to restrain oneself is temperance. You know, there's more to temperance than how much we eat, but there's also what we eat and what we drink. And again, does this matter? What I eat, what I drink. I want to remind us again that there's been a shift. And I want to think about sugar a little bit. There are many unhealthy foods nowadays. But if I had to narrow it down from the little bit that I know to the most evil culprit in our day and in our foods, it's sugar. And it was interesting to me, the girls set up back here the other night at the school art evening, because this subject was on my mind. And so I was looking at that, and it was a lot of interesting facts about sugar. And some of the facts that I found were vary a little bit, but that's all right. It's not a big deal. Over the last 50 to 100 years, there's been a big shift in our food and the quality of our food and how much sugar is in our food. And in my studies, I find that the average U.S. person nowadays consumes 150 pounds of refined sugar every year. That's close to half a pound of sugar every day. I know they had 100 pounds on their list there. I had seen in one study, and 10 years ago, we were averaging 100 pounds. Today, we're averaging 150 pounds. That's a 50% increase in sugar intake in the last 10 years. And you can just see on the chart, it's going up. And the worst culprit, of course, is drinks and soft drinks. It's in our liquids a lot. And maybe you think, well, so what? Is 150 pounds bad? To put it a little bit in perspective, 100 years ago, the average person was eating about 4 pounds of sugar a year. About what the average American eats now in a week. We are consuming tons of sugar. They say 80% of our food in the grocery stores are laced with sugar. It's in things we're not aware of. And a lot of you probably are not trying to eat more sugar. We don't even know we're eating more sugar. We're not doing it on purpose. We don't mean to. But if we are not aware of it, I believe, and actively trying to avoid it as much as we can, it will be, by default, we will eat more and more. And it is being in more and more of our foods. There are many, many studies on sugar. It's nothing new or hidden. The sugar and its effects. And it's no secret that sugar is not good for you. Pretty much everybody would agree on that, I think. Sugar is addictive. And this is one thing that I didn't know about, is a calorie is not a calorie. Like they say sometimes, a sugar calorie. And I'm not going to go into all the science of it, but sugar not only is a calorie, but it's a bad calorie in the effects, the way that it works in your system. It packs on the weight, so to speak, more than just you eating 2,000 calories of good food and burning only 1,800. It's actually affecting your body in more ways than that. Sugar is addictive. Sugar causes your brain to release what they call dopamine, I think. And many of you have probably heard of this. This is a chemical in your brain that's a pleasing sensation. It sends out pleasant signals, makes you feel good. And just like any other addictive drug, your body begins to have a tolerance for it. And it takes more of it to create the same pleasant sensation that your body is wanting to get out of it. And there's many other harmful things that sugar does. Sugar is probably, I think this would be true, far beyond tobacco and some of those uses in the leading killers of humans, if you were to take into account how all these diseases, these main diseases that we have, are so strongly tied to sugar. And the amazing thing about it is if you stop and think about it, the only reason we eat sugar is just for our taste buds. It's nothing, it does nothing else for you except bad. And how it's simply an artificial flavoring to satisfy my mind and my taste. And the price that we are paying for this pleasure is absorbent. How is that different than drugs? In that sense. You know, we are feeding this poison to our children by the bucketfuls and we don't know it. And we wonder why they have all across our nation hyperactive syndrome and ADD and all these other problems. Instead of giving them a good diet, then we take them to the doctor and we subscribe more chemicals to put into their body to try to balance this thing out. And again, it's not fair to our children. It's not good. And I just say again, it's not because we're trying to. It's just that we're in mainstream going along, eating the processed foods and not thinking and knowing what we're doing and drinking the drinks. Another thing about this, I think, that leads to overweight and all these problems is the availability of food. Food is everywhere when you think about it. You can't leave the house and drive 10 or 15 minutes in any given direction without passing food. Gas stations, coffee shops, mini marts, fast food restaurants. And you know, if this isn't all bad enough, then we have all our modern conveniences, time saving, energy saving conveniences of cars and tractors and riding lawnmowers, golf carts and four-wheelers so that we don't have to spend too much energy. And it all makes a vicious cycle of unhealth. So when you compare all that to the 100 years ago and the life that they lived and the manual work that they did and they grew their own food and they walked to school and they walked to church and they didn't walk by food junk food places, compared to the life that we live today. Just the eating and the sugar and the less exercise. It's no wonder that we don't feel good sometimes. And the diseases that we have. And I think that in the extreme cases this does and can affect us spiritually. And I say this in the sense, I don't say this just directly, because we're unhealthy then we lose our connection with God. But if we're not careful, we become lazy. We don't feel good. Our children, our work ethic slide. People lay in bed too long. And I think all of that idleness in one form or another, whether we realize it or not, does have a spiritual impact on our people. It does on me. It does on me when I do that. So we need to guard against the sin of gluttony and laziness and just all these things, our diet. And to remember why. To remember that we are not our own. We are to glorify God in our bodies, in everything that we do. I want to also say a little bit on the flip side. That we live in the Pacific Northwest. And where health food has almost, or has probably, become a god to many people. And I think that many of these people are probably reacting to some of this knowledge that is coming out about the unhealth that we live in. Organic, local grown, free range. It's just become a marketing tactic that I don't think is right either. And I heard just recently that Oregon is the number two state, only behind Vermont, for the most important, for people feeling most important to them, that it's local grown in the state food. And these reasons are certainly not godly reasons. Oregon and Vermont are not godly states. They're very liberal states, ungodly states. So I think that there can definitely become a selfish, self-serving side and aspect to this extremely high emphasis on health and chasing that all the time, and that our bodies basically become our gods in trying to do everything that we can for this. And this is not glorifying to God either. Just recently I was talking to a fellow, and he was going on and on about health and just amazing. He was excited about it. And he told me somewhere in that stream of what he was telling me that through diet he can cure any disease. Any disease. And I said, any terminal disease? He said, yes. And I said, late stage cancer? Yes, he can. Through intensifying it. And I just say that in my mind, that's an unhealthy emphasis and realistic view on how God wants us to look at health as well. So we have danger in that as well, worship of health. And we need, I thought about, Jesus and the words of Jesus, the life of Jesus. He didn't say a lot about that, in fact. When the Pharisees came to him and were complaining about washing his hands, he was like, it's not a big deal. The food goes in and goes out. It's more what comes out from the inside. So there's that aspect of it. And I think we as Christians should be willing to let our bodies become to suffer and to die. That's fine for the cause of Christ. But we do not abuse them upon our own lust. That's the difference. That's what I'm saying. Of our own selfish desires. Otherwise, we're just like the alcoholics and the drug addicts, that we do this just for my immediate pleasure. Another thing I wanted to say is that a couple things here. That I believe when we go to another country or we go to someone's house or you come to my house and I serve you food that is not organic or perfectly healthy, eat it. Be thankful for it. For the people that have made it for you. Unless, of course, you have extreme health problems that you can't. But my point is, people and relationships are more important than your health. Be thankful for what people offer you and give you. And like the Apostle Paul said, asking no questions, eat what's set before you. And I'd like to say too that I am in it with you guys. Probably a lot of you eat less sugar than I do. I'm not trying to portray that I eat a sugar-free diet, because I don't. I try to pick my sugars and all of that like probably the rest of you do. And neither does our family. We eat some of that. And I just think it's good. I think it's good for us to be aware, and many of you are aware, but that I think this is is something to consider as our society goes on and our food and our health, to at least plug that in to the considerations and into our self-discipline and in a God-honoring way. And for those of you who know Lindsay, I'll say this just for the enjoyment of it. She said to tell this, although she probably didn't think I really would say it, that she said, tell them I didn't tell you to preach that sermon. So for you women that know her, she didn't. It's just been on my mind. I hear a lot of it. And so I've been kind of studying it. And this is a subject that she enjoys, though. So anyhow, that's all I have. I hope that can be an encouragement, not a discouragement. If you're a person that battles health problems and the sweet tooth and all that, don't be discouraged. Try to look at it in a way that God wants you to look at it, Be balanced. Don't lose peace with your husband and wife and children over the food in your cupboard. It's probably not worth that. But I just wanted to share those thoughts sometime. So God bless you. And I think we'll just go ahead and stand because it's late. Pray. Close.